talk about creativity, being able to put two and two together, sorting things out. Hallelujah. That's required for life, whatever you are doing. And then letter D stands for what? Discernment. And discernment won't work very well if you don't have to quiet yourself down. You will not be able to see things clearly if you are all disquieted within. And we said letter E stands for what? Emotional agility. You are agile. You are able to, you know, quickly take your feelings, round them up, do things we need to do, and don't get all carried away by your feelings. And then we say letter F, last Tuesday, is fasting. Let's go to letter G today. Let's go to Luke 13. Letter G. Luke 13. I'm really enjoying this. It's helping me too. Luke 13. I'd like you to look at the verse that it's beautiful. Take a look at verse 31. On that very day, Jesus was talking and discussing about some things. And then the very day, some Pharisees came saying to him, "Get out and depart from here, for Herod wants to kill you." Amazing. They get maybe from the security services. They got information. And what was Jesus' reply? Please take a look at Jesus' reply. And he said to them, "Go tell that fox." I like it in Yoruba. Kolo kolo. Read that before? "Go tell that fox, behold, I cast out demons and perform cures today and tomorrow. And the third day, I shall be perfected." Follow this verse. This is interesting. Next verse. "And nevertheless, I must walk. I must journey today, tomorrow, and the day following. For it cannot be that a prophet should perish outside of Jerusalem." So, now, let's go back to verse 32. This is what he said. "Go tell that fox, behold, I cast out demons and perform cures today and tomorrow." I cast out demons and perform cure today, tomorrow. "And the third day, I shall be perfected." Then he said, "In that today, tomorrow, next day," look at verse 33. "I must journey today, tomorrow, and the day following." So, as he's performing cure and casting out demons, are we here? Are we here? As he was performing cure and casting out demons, he's making a journey. And that journey is toward Jerusalem. So, as he's walking, he has an intention. In fact, if you read the book of Luke chapter 9, let's take a look. They didn't want to listen to him in the town because of the way his face was set. Let's go to Luke chapter 9. These are just in the Bible, we have to look for them. It can be very, very interesting. Look at verse 51. Some of these verses can be very interesting. If you just take a look inside your Bible. "Now it came to pass," please look at this. "It came to pass when the time had come for him to be received up." That's Jesus. This is Luke chapter 9. The one we read was Luke chapter what? 13. "It came to pass when the time had come that he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem." That means everything was set toward Jerusalem. He was still walking. Remember I said journey. Look at next verse. "And sent messengers before his face." Now, he set his face. That means if you look at Jesus' face, what do you see? As if he's looking beyond where he is right now. He's looking somewhere. "And as they went, they entered a village of the Samaritans to prepare for him to do a crusade or teaching, preaching, and there." Please follow. Where was his face set toward? Jerusalem. Now, look at next verse. "But they did not receive him in a Samaritan village, because his face was set for the journey to see." I mean, you're set on going to Lagos, and then you get to Mowe. You plan to do something there, and the people in Mowe could read your face in such a way that you are set for Lagos. are you following? This is Jesus. Now let's go back to Luke 13. Now, please, just stop there. This is Luke 9, right? He set his face. He didn't mean he was not walking, because in Luke 9, now Luke 10, look at verse 1. This one is to show you about Jesus' life. Luke 10, verse 1. After these things, the Lord appointed how many? 70 others also, and sent them two by two. Now, if you go two by two, that'd be how many pairs? 35 pairs, right? Now, remember, his face was set toward Jerusalem. Are you following? Somebody say, what's letter G now? Relax. And send them two by two before his face into every city and place where himself was about to go. So, Jesus planned to go to all the cities. That means he had planned, he had set goals for 35 places to go. Am I making some sense? Now, he got 70 people and he said he should go out in pairs to every time he was going to go. So if there are 35 pairs, so Christ had made provision for 35 places to go. Though his face was set toward Jerusalem. Are you following me? Okay, let's go to Luke 13 now. This is where I'm going. 13 verse 32. So he said to them, let's go quickly. Okay, and he said to them, go tell that fox, behold, I cast out demons and cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I shall be perfected. Now this is what NKJV say. Now let's hear it. What that word, perfected. Let's hear it in NIV. I'd like you to look, letter G. Letter G now. NIV. He replied, go tell that fox, I will drive out demons and heal people today and tomorrow, and on the third day, what will I do? I will reach my goal. So, goal setting and goal reaching. Letter G. Setting goals, but Jesus didn't believe in setting goals. He believed in reaching goals. So, goal setting and reaching goals. And, you know, the Bible says perfected. So, perfecting and getting your life together is reaching goals. I don't know about you. Anytime I set something to do and I get it done, I feel fulfilled. Anybody like me? Thank you. You feel that you are performing, you are doing what you're supposed to do. You know? So, reaching your goal, just like Jesus, it was important for him. He said, I will drive out demons and heal people today and tomorrow, and on the third day, I will reach my goal. So, Jesus was set on reaching his goal. Goal setting. I know it's a common business people talk about, but Jesus believed in setting your face to go somewhere and get it done. Let's look at next verse. Give us next verse. I'm waiting for next verse, 33. In any case, I must keep going today and tomorrow and the next day, for surely no prophet of any word can die outside Jerusalem. You know what shocked me? I noticed that Paul had the same goal in Acts, going toward Jerusalem. It's amazing. He just set his face, he's going to Jerusalem at all costs. And they told him, you're going to die, they're going to kill you. He said, I must reach Jerusalem. I guess he was following the footsteps of his master. Because nobody who is worthwhile doing anything must not show up in Jerusalem. But today, I'm not asking to become a JP, Jerusalem pilgrimage. I'm asking to become a goal reacher. Not only just a goal setter, but reaching your goal. Give us the verse before this verse again. On the third day, I will reach my goal. We must become not only a goal setter, but a goal reacher. Jesus reached his goal. Now let me make something clear. Jesus defined his goals from here. He said, I will drive out demons and heal people today and tomorrow. I guess this is what people said, that he spent 3 years, because they count days as years in those days. Okay, so he was saying that I'm going to spend 3 years casting out demons and curing people. And on the third day, I'll reach my goal. And the goal is to die in Jerusalem. Let's take our Bible. Let's dig into that goal. Let's go to Luke chapter 4. You will see this sense of direction, this setting goals and going for it. A lot of time when we set goals, we forget about it until next time that we have alarm. Now, there are some goals like that. I have alarms too. I have all kinds of alarms on my phone. But certain goals must not be forgotten. For instance, RFC, we are ultimate about making mature followers of Christ. We won't put it by, so we won't forget it. We can forget anything else. We can forget service on Friday. Are you hearing me? But we must not forget exactly what we are intending to do to make mature followers of Christ. And that removes everything from us that should have been done as a church, because our goal is to mature believers, not to keep you as infant babies forever. Amen? Amen? Okay, all right. Let's now go a step further now. Now, when we say reaching your goal, going after your goals, how do you do that? Look at, look for. Jesus was doing this everywhere he went. Okay. Take a look. Look for. So determined. Look for verse 14. So, then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and news of him went out through all the surrounding region. Next verse. And he taught in their synagogue, being glorified by all. Next verse. Let's keep on going. And he came to, please, I want you to see this. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. Now, take a look at what he says. And as his custom was, so this is Jesus' custom, this is Jesus' habit. Wherever he went, every town, every village he went in Israel. This is custom. This is settled habit. This is the goal-reaching ability of Jesus. Everywhere he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and the first thing he would do anywhere he went, anywhere he went, the first thing he would do is to reach out for the book of Isaiah. Any church he entered, any synagogue he entered, any meeting he does, he would get old. You know how I'm sure of that? I saw it in the Bible, and a man went to heaven, and Jesus told him that when I was there, anywhere I went, whatever I did, I will open this place, because that was his goal. That was his custom. He will read, and what will he read in the Bible? Not every verse is in the Bible. He will read, come and see what he will read. And take a look. Next verse. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. That's what he asked for. And when he had opened the book, you see, he opened on attention, and he found the place where it was written. Take a look. What did he say? Next verse. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to the captives. He said, I'll perform cure, I'll cast out demons. Remember? Captives, recovery of sight to the blind, set at liberty those who are oppressed. He will read that verse, next verse, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And then when he finished reading, he will stop there. Next verse. And then he will close the book and then give it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he will say this. Look at next verse. And he began to say to them, same thing he will say everywhere he went. Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Wherever he went. That's what Matthew said. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogue, preaching the gospel and healing. So he will read this verse, from Isaiah, and see, he was so goal-oriented. He was so clear about what he's going to get done. He knows what he's here for. He's not playing around. Of course, he attends third parties. He played with kids. He enjoyed life. He made water, wine at the Cana, where the Cana Galilee. But his intention was, like he said again, let's go to Luke 13, verse 22, verse 31, or 32 rather. Luke 13, 32. This is his goal. And he said to them, go tell that fox, behold, I cast out demons and perform cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I shall be perfected. Do you have certain things like that in your life? Of course, you take your bath every day. Am I right? That's a health goal you have to do, any kind of thing. But to Jesus, his life goal was to perform cure and cast out demons. And everywhere he went, he would open the book. I wish that would be done in all our profession. That we know that when I wake up in the morning and I report in the office, this is what I'm here to do. You know, I had to do that at the beginning when I became a pastor. I know the Bible. I could fight with people with the Bible. I mean, you can't. So the Lord asked me one question. He said, do you want to come and be fruitful in Abeokuta, or you want to come and fight? So I told myself, fight is sweet too. You know, you know the Bible. Anybody who comes messing up, use Bible and club out their head. Or just settle down and produce fruit. So I tell from freedom to fruitfulness. So I told myself, I want to come and bear fruit in town. I don't want to just waste my time fighting every doctrine in town. And I think God has helped me to do that over the years. I mean, just get up every day. It can be very, very boring. Are you hearing me? The only way God could convince me was the fact that my heart had a goal to beat every day and pump blood. And I said, Lord, what about if the heart is boring? Just let your heart get creative one of these days. But I'm going to accommodate you. Are you hearing me? So you can see your heart from your birth before you are born. Tick, 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 tick. So what's your goal in life? You know, sometimes we say to become a millionaire. That's too low. It's just paper. And million is not so much anymore now. How much is a million now? Less than how many dollars? Yeah, I don't know. That's variation, right? Okay. But it's not so much anymore. Just 1,000 notes. Not be so. Okay, all right. So perform. Get that done. I just want to show you in Jesus' life that Jesus will wake up every day reaching his goal. He said, I shall be perfected. Now look at it in NIV. Give us an NIV again. NIV quickly. NIV. I'm waiting for you. NIV. Thank you. He replied, go tell that fox, I'll drive out demons and heal people today and tomorrow. And on the third day, I will reach my goal. So Jesus was not just a goal setter, was a goal reacher. So if I want to be practical, I want to really live life very well, I must be goal richer. I must set goals. What is a goal? We can know in football. If you go to football, you see that you will never pay for football to watch if there are no this goal post. And they put goal post there, and you look at everybody strive on either side to put ball in the net. Am I right? So what I'm saying today is very clear. There's something that's a result we are putting our effort after, that our effort will be crowned with success. But can you imagine you go to a football field and there are no goalposts? It'd be meaningless. So many people also, they play game of life without goalposts. They just run up and down. They don't set goals to get the job done. Let's look at how to set goals. You know, the Lord just helpful for me this morning when I was praying over this. So goal setting and goal reaching is letter G in practical living, A to Z on practical living. If you don't have a goal, you will not really feel like living. If you don't have, just imagine you go to a football field and there are no goalposts. The footballer won't feel like playing. You know, and some of us over here, sometimes we are not happy with our lives. That's why some people, even go abroad. And if you are not careful, you think that having resources will be enough goal for you. But it's not. Resources are just the opportunity. But without seizing opportunity, it will be practically useless. So I will ask you to tell you that don't just set goals of going to Lagos, or going abroad, or getting a job. But what are you going to do with it? I want to show you this morning when I was praying, I just saw the practicality of how to handle goals. And guess what? We are going to see it in a very beautiful place. The very first, listen to this. The very first action on our planet, the very first action on this planet was based upon goal setting and goal reaching. Say that again one more time. The very first action on this planet, you know, if I'm teaching from business school, I say, this is just business book. But I'm talking from the Bible now. People say, this is just goal settings in business. No. The very first action on this planet, the very first thing that happened on this planet came out of goal setting and goal reaching. Pastor, prove it. Genesis 1:1. Let's go there. Genesis 1:1. This gave us tremendous understanding about goal setting and goal reaching. Genesis 1:1. Let's go. Genesis 1:1. Whoever is there, please listen to what I'm saying. Genesis 1:1. Can you give us in NKJV? Thank you. In the beginning, God created what? The heavens and the earth. Let's go to the next verse. The earth, please, I'd like you to look at this. This is fantastic. I said to you that the very first thing that happened on this planet was what? Goal setting and goal reaching. The earth was without form, out of shape. And second, it was empty. And darkness was on the face of the deep. So three things were peculiar to this planet right at the beginning. Or after the beginning, God made heaven and the earth. It was first of all without form, it was formless. And then second, it was empty. And then third, darkness was upon the face of the deep. So it was now a depth of formlessness and void. I love the way it was put in Message Bible. Give us Message Bible for this verse. It's amazing. Take a look. Earth was a soup of what? No pepper. No onion. It was a soup of nothingness. A bottomless emptiness. An inky blackness. God's spirit brooded like a bird above the watery abyss. Emptiness. No shape, no form, nothing in the air, and darkness. So God set goals. The story of Genesis, 6 days, was God setting goals. But at the beginning of every goal setting must be a clarity of what we are dealing with. You see, usually, have you ever watched them play football? The guy will just hit the ball. Sometimes even penalty, it just goes over. I remember one of those World Cup, one guy missed penalty for his country. One of the South Americans. They killed him. Huh? Escobar. Yeah, you see the man's name? Which country now? Peru or something? Colombia. I mean, they just blew up his head. The guy just go, game now. How do you game low? Was the goal? Was the goal that was missed? So you can see that kind of thing that you just pass it. Now, when that happens, you see sometimes they hit the ball, you hit the goalpost, and see the guy just going like this. You just, you know, why? Because the accuracy, yeah. As far as you are concerned, you see the ball going there, but it was not so accurate enough to enter there. I've seen some guys that would dribble well and score well. Another one is scoring by accident. Who can bang? Who can volley? Those guys dance more than everybody else. You know, you feel the form, and U.S. Embassy says you should enter. What's that? Praise God. You know, it must be a kind of a deliberate thing. So let's look at what God did. Go back to NKJV. Let's see God setting goals. The earth was without form and void and darkness. So there are three things that are taking place. God understood what's going on there. What did he do? He began to tackle those things. And if you don't understand that, you just reading first day, second day, third day, fourth day, fifth day. God was getting up every day to fulfill what was lacking on the planet. You'd be amazed. Look at the first one, verse 2. And God said, let there be light. So what God set first was the goal of removing this inky blackness. Are you hearing me? So God just said, let there be light. It had a context. Am I making some sense? It had, you know, you say, I'm going to be a millionaire. What's the context? Hey, I'm going abroad. What's the context? Oh, I'm going to succeed in this city. What's the context? God had a context that was formlessness, there was an emptiness, and there was darkness, and God got up, began with the last one. darkness, let there be light. And there was light. Look at next verse. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. See, about accomplishing a goal. I want you to watch this. God starts setting goals. I want to remove this darkness. And after removing the darkness, see that word, and God saw. That's a deliberate word of looking at what he had accomplished and graded it. And you see, sometimes, many of us, when we don't look at what we are trying to accomplish, we may not see how to go further from there. You get your result. You had A, B, and C. Oh, that should further you to go and try to make the C better next time. Are you hearing me? Not just, oh, I got my result. No. See, God, after getting the result, he looked, there was light, and he looked at it. God just showed me, it was really amazing to watch God accomplishing. And I was asking God, I said, God, why did you do this on this planet? He said, I want to show mankind how to live here on earth. Identifying the issue and going after it and using your days to accomplish it. God doesn't require days. He doesn't live in time. But he did that because he's going to do it on this planet, and we are his image and likeness. He wants us to imitate him. Am I making some sense this morning or this evening? Bible says God made us to continue what he has started. We'll see that in a minute. So God began to address that. Now, after God removing the darkness, second day, look at it. Accomplishing certain goals. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. So it took a whole solid day to remove the darkness. And he properly called it what it was. He defined it in his own sense. Now, don't let anybody define your goals for you. That will give it a definition. I'm going this way. This is what I want to get done. Somebody else may be crying for getting 2-1 because his goal was 1, first class. And somebody else will rejoice with third class because really, it went to fail. So our joys are different. Praise God. And we just be conscious. Look at next one. Next verse. And he said, then God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters. Let it divide the waters. And God started giving it a form. See, it was formless before, right? Right? It was formless. So God started dividing and see. Anybody who look and say, God just said, you know, some of us, we think like this. You know, something. You know, another one. Kabiyosi. Just, when you discuss, just get up and say, hey, light be. Yeah, come on, kada, animal. No. It was intentionally fulfilling a goal. Like a woman going to the market, who had marked out what she's going to buy. And as she gets over here, she takes it and say, well, that's right. That rice is okay. Next one, beans, let's go down there. That's what God was doing. Taking care of things. And you know what? That's what makes us happy. Not what we actually eat. You know, the experience of living life, making things happen. No, my wife enjoys cooking. I don't. I enjoy eating. No, that's not even true, you know. That's not even true, you know. But, you know, she's just busy. Put that one, put over there. I wonder why she was busy. I start so much time with this thing. Just anything. I really appreciate that because, I mean, if she left to me, she won't cook. They always want to eat anything. Then she go extra life, she put something there, she put vegetable for eggs. You think I said, look at my daughter. You know? But, you know, she takes, you know, it's just, and honestly, the joy of living is in doing it, not just in having it. I've seen women that after they finish cooking, they don't feel like eating. Just the cooking is enough to make them. How many women like that over here? Interesting. Then, God said, let there be a firmament in the waters. Let it divide the water from the waters. Next verse, quickly. And God made the firmament and divided the waters from the waters. And it was so. Next verse. And God called the firmament heaven. So the evening and the morning were the second day. So you can see God starts separating. This is formless. So God gathered the sky, gathered the land. Let's look at next verse. And God said, let the waters under the heaven, there are so much water, so he put one water up, one down, under the heaven, they gather together into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. You can see God, you know, after putting on the light, you could see everything. Second, he started putting water between the water so that he can see the water on the ground and water in the sky, the atmosphere water, and then the water in the land. And then he started saying, hey, after that water, he said, let the ground come out. It's giving form, not just speaking, it's giving form. You know, it was formless and void, darkness upon the face of the deep. Let's keep reading. It was so. And God called the dry land earth, and gathering together of the waters he called sea. And God saw that it was what? It was good. See, God was even estimating and assessing what he was doing. One time he said, it's not good, remember? He said, it's not good for man to be alone. He made man complete, perfect, but he said, no, it's not good enough. So learning to set goals, reach them, and then after reaching them, to even evaluate them. God was doing that. Let's clap our hands for Jehovah God. Amen. That's our God. We are his children. So that was good. And next verse, let's move on. We're looking at setting goals and reaching it. Then God said, let the earth bring forth grass. Now, he started giving what now? You see, it was empty, right? It was empty, so he began to fill it now. Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, and the fruit that yields fruit, according to his kind, who seed is in itself on the earth. And it was so. Let's keep reading. And the earth brought forth seed, brought forth grass, the herb that yields seed, according to his kind, and the seed that yields fruit, who seed is in itself, according to his kind. And God saw. Now, see, when God said, let the ground bring forth grass, he had all the pictures of different grasses in his mind. Are you hearing me? Are we here? Like an artist drawing something. Something is inside of him that's coming out. So, and God said that it was good. You know where? God never said it was good about the firmament. He said it was good. Other places. Let's go on. So the evening and the morning were the third day. Next verse. And so God let said, let there be light firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night. Now, before, this is amazing about God. Before, you know, darkness was there, right? So he spoke light to be, but he didn't want to keep the light just hanging there. He wanted to give a source of light that will keep on keeping the light going. Am I making some sense? So he said, okay, let the sun and the moon begin to do that job. That was just me speaking all the time. Let there be light and darkness and night. Am I making some sense? Am I making some sense? God evaluating and looking at, and he said, there are going to be seasons and signs and days and years. Knowing that people will live on this planet and they will require time to get things done. So he set that up. Let's give on reading. Next one, quickly. And let there be for light and firmament. Next verse, next verse. Next verse. Next verse, I'm just trying to jump, roll over the day, roll over the night. Next verse, thought that was good. So the middle of the morning, or the fourth day. Fifth day, let's go to the next day. Let the water abound with abundance. See, the ground that was empty, that was formed now, was now being filled. The water that was without form, that came out, now being filled with birds. Am I making some sense? There's some kind of intelligence to this thing. It's called goal setting and goal reaching. Next verse. Quickly. And so God created great seas, creatures, and every living thing that moves with which the water abounded, so that it was good. Next verse. And God said, bless them, fruitful, multiply, and feed the water and the seas, and let the birds multiply on the earth. Next verse. Quickly. So the evening and the morning were the first day. Next verse. Then let the earth bring forth living creatures. So you could see the water, the sky getting filled, the sky getting filled with birds, the water getting filled with water creatures, and then the ground now. That was on the ground. See, the earth was formless and void, empty, darkness covered. So God started tackling them. And listen, God was using days to do that. He was using time to do that. So our time should be spent for reaching our goals. Write that one down. My time should be spent in reaching my goal. When I wake up in the morning, I should be asking myself, what am I supposed to do? Not just wandering around in our mind about our feelings. We should be booking our time. We go to the airport, they know which plane should be able to taxi to where it should be and move. We should not just let our life be packed down like cars going nowhere. God came here for the first 1 week of his time with us. He was accomplishing things and putting them in order. Praise God. All right? Each according to his kind. It was so. Next verse. Quickly, let's jump. And God made the beast of the earth according to his kind. Everything was good. Now, finally, on the sixth day, then God said, let us make man. Now, you can see it was formless and void, right? Empty. It was dark. God saw that out. And God said, before I leave this place, let me put some machinery here that can keep it running. Not just me coming back to take it all the time. So he made human beings in his own image. You can see God getting things done, letting each goal lead to another, and fulfilling things in life. You know, many of us, let me say this, we are busy looking for God to keep his promises, but we're not doing our own side of it. You can't be saying you are waiting for God to water the land, and you're not preparing the ground and planting seed, waiting for the water to fall. You just can't. You know, there's something about the blacks that make life difficult for us. Oyinbo may not be so godly, but you know that if you get rain, if you don't get seed on the ground, we pray for rain, and when we say, where's our seed? I'm still looking. What's the rain for? It's useless. Are you hearing me? So you can see that God was making things and using each day fulfilling things. And particularly your week. You know, can I be honest with you? You don't actually have years and months. Years and months are actually idea. You cannot take a year in your hand. You cannot take a month in your hand. January is just January. But what you actually have available to you is today, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and then Sunday start again. So what we have concretely available to us is days and weeks. Are you hearing me? And it's what we do with our days that matters. Teach us to number what? Our days, not our years. Hallelujah. So what do we pack into our days? What do we do with our days? And if you're not careful, the tech companies of our world want to engage you to spend your days with their facilities and counting you more as part of their trophies. Facebook will like to have you all the time. And TikTok is always TikToking on your life. Nothing wrong with them, but we must not let them become where our goals are, except you are walking from there. So I will say this to us, that God accomplished his goal. And when he did, look at, amazing, 31, verse 31. Then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Are we here? Can I say this to you? Do you know that Genesis 2 expanded that story and opened up what happened on the sixth day thoroughly well? And he said, even in that sixth day, there were times God said, it's not good for the man to be alone. Am I right? You can see God. This is one of the things that I wish people could, I wish I can open their brain and drop it there. Being able to assess yourself without being emotionally carried away by yourself. Some of us over here, if you wash this handkerchief and they say it's not clean, you go berserk. How can I say it's not clean? Because it's because you that wash it. If somebody else wash it, you will tear it down. You will say, but when it comes to you, I was telling my wife something that happened sometimes ago. I don't want to mention the school. The person is even here who said that. He said, there was this problem that happened in the school, and they were thinking of whether they should throw out the students and ask him to go. And one person got up in the meeting and was saying, we should throw the person out. And this person, in our midst, got up and said, let's be careful. It could happen to any of us. Let's be careful with this. You know that, I think a year or two after, that person, the son, had the same problem. Abakoresa, something like that. Yes. That person had the same problem. Now, you can't just do, you can't, I mean, you did it that time. I had another one. I won't mention names. Not even in this town. The pastor's wife will fight people if somebody ever get pregnant anyhow. One day, her own daughter got pregnant. Hear me? Praise God. So, Ayabalela. Hear me? Praise God. So, you didn't hear that, Abby? Okay. So, we're talking about goal setting and goal reaching, learning to work with things and getting them done. Pastor, when you say setting goals, what do you mean? Setting goals is very simple. It's like putting goalposts. What are we going to count as scores? You know what? What are we going to count as score? That if I get this done, is it? What will you count as score in your marriage? What will you count as score in your career? What will you count as score in your business? Don't count as scores marketing. Count as score what they bought. You know what this company said? They spent 18 million naira on marketing. Let's ask them, how much came out of that one? Huh? So we must learn to count the score, real score of our life. What are we going to count as score? How will I actually say, as a husband, I fulfill my goal? As a worker in my workplace, what is my goal? Some people think that the goal of workplace is to be paid salary whether I work or not. No. Praise God. So, goal setting is to set up a particular score. I want to go after this. And that can happen in all rest of our life. We can do spiritual goals that I want to get things done. That when I wake up in the morning, I have spiritual goals I want to accomplish in my spiritual life. I also have goals as a human being, what I want to improve and what I want to remove in my life. I find out that I'm a little bit afraid. How do I, what's the goal I can set to offset that fear in my life? Look here, your hands will be full, man. If you think like this, your hands will be full. I have a physical goal I've set to improve my health. Huh? That's why one of the fantastic property you can have is a good phone. A lot of things can be done by your phone. Honestly. A lot of things you can set up. A lot of things you can do with it. Your phone is fantastic. It's one of those things that phone is no longer phone. It's now really a personal identity, to be honest with you. It's no longer phone. It's only just kind of a hey you, like children. It's actually where we can do a lot of things. You can write, we can plan, we can set up things, you can. You know, I have an app on my phone where I can jot down diaries and stuff. And it's amazing that this diary will remind me what happened on this particular day. It's amazing. I mean, it's powerful to be able to take Bibles, you know, kind of a thing, check. Those days when we used to have Bible, we go and take from the concordance from the world. We just press now, we just search everywhere. Man, what a mighty generation we are. So set a goal for your spiritual life, emotional life, for your physical life. For social life, how many parties will I be going so that I won't get too many parties? Huh? Some of us will be going to more parties, some of us will be going to less parties, some of us will be, you know, things like that. We should be able to adjust things, right? Praise God. Praise God. One of the greatest goals of leadership is to free people to be their best. One of the greatest goals of leadership is to free people to be their best. If you are leading a department or anything, you should be asking yourself, how much am I allowing our people to be their best? Praise God. So that's setting goal. We've seen, so we can have spiritual health, emotional, academic, financial goal that I want to improve on my finances. Praise God. What can I do to get better at my workplace? You know, there's this thing about talking like this. Someone say, but very careful what you say. So when you just think that, you know, when I talk like this, a pastor, you know, people say, look, you're going to have to attend to things. Are you hearing me? You just can't. Am I worried? Are you worried? You set goals. I mean, just imagine, God didn't set the goals. Nothing will happen, right? It's simply formless and void. So practical things that you should be asking yourself, I don't know what God will do. Then what can you do yourself now? I don't know what God will do, but what can you do yourself? What can you do? Pastor, I don't know where this is going, about all this food is expensive. Temple, God knows what you are eating and manage what you have. Period. God will take it from there. But you can't come back, say things have gone expensive and you are eating double what you are eating before. Huh? You know, you just have to get up and start doing things. And start setting goals and having a picture of what you want to get done and start doing that. That's what makes life exciting. And that can be done from prison to the palace. Joseph set goals in prison. You know, they put Joseph over certain people. And Joseph told himself, the reason why I'm leading here is to watch the people to see that they're happy and they are accomplished. And one day he woke up in the morning and saw two of his people under him. They were chiefs in the land. He said, "Why are you sad? Oh, we had dreams. Tell me your dreams." Are you hearing me today? So I'm challenging you. So I start running up this. We're going to take some questions and answers now. I'm challenging you to start on purpose setting. But let me show you something I do that really helped me. I want to show you something now. Let's go to Acts 19. Hallelujah. We're going to see it in the life of Paul. Look at verse 20. This is in Ephesus. This is in the city of Ephesus. I mean, power of God was moving so powerfully. So the word of the Lord grew mightily and prevailed. The preaching was so powerful and enormous. Now look at verse 21. When these things were accomplished, things were happening, like what happened to God in the beginning. Paul proposed where? In the spirit. When he had passed through Macedonia and Achaia to go to Jerusalem, saying, after I have been there, I must also see Rome. You know what? The whole of Acts, the rest of the act, was accomplishing this. At the end of the book of Acts 27, give us the last two verses in the book of Acts 27, verse what there? 27. Or 28, Roddy. Verse what? What's the last verse in 28? Act 28. Can you find it? Okay, let's find it for them. Okay, give us verse 29, 30. Okay, verse 30 now. Okay, this is Paul now in Rome. Then Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own rented house and received all who came to him. Next verse. Preaching the kingdom of God and teaching the things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no one forbidding him. It took him such a while. He set that goal that I'm going to, what's Act what now? Act 19. Are you with me? Verse 21. Act 19, 21. He proposed in the spirit when he had passed through Macedonia and Achaia to go to Jerusalem, saying, after I've been there, I must also see Rome. So this man set up a goal that I want to get this done. But listen, see that word, proposed in the the Spirit. What is it? In my younger days, I would dream up things in my head, try to go after them, and usually about, I want to be that, I want to have that. But as I get better in the Lord and growing more in the Lord, I came to see that goals are formed at the beginning. I saw goals were only formed by my mind. So I would think, what can I do? What can I do? What can I do about this business? What can I do? I need to advertise. So I start advertising. Oh, what can I do now? I need to go and see somebody. Go and see somebody. And usually, I don't get good results. Now, what I'm going to say now will help you. Setting up goals is like living in a house. You cannot live only in your parlor and succeed. Of course, people are met in the parlor. You see them in the parlor. The parlor, your mind is like your parlor. But you know that what actually happens in the parlor starts from the bedroom. Am I making some sense? Are you here? So, many of us do understand that we are more than our mind. That is our heart and our mind. Real beautiful goals start from your heart and develop with your mind. But write this one down. Real proper goal is discovered in the heart and developed with the mind. You can't just discover with your mind. Your mind was not meant to discover your life. Your mind is too, it can't do that. Your mind will only look around you. You know, you just compare and contrast. But when you go to your heart, that's how you call your wife or your husband, sweetheart. Because that's what your heart wants. Not Miss Nigeria. So your heart is your bedroom. Have you noticed that? You don't stay in your bedroom all the time. Am I right? But your bedroom is where you put your money. That's where you dress up from. But you can't stay only in the bedroom. But that bedroom determines what happens outside there. That's where you change to different clothes. So your heart is like your bedroom. Your heart is the real you. Your heart is where your spirit is in your heart. It's in that core of you. And so that's where things are formed from. So in my younger days, I got a lot of plan out things, use my head, make things, and things won't work. So I learn now to depend on my heart and my mind. For instance now, I said something last Friday, I said, I don't live by the Bible. Someone said, what? I don't live by what I read. I live by what I'm instructed to read from the book, to do. I don't just try and get facts and live by them. In my younger days, I was doing that. I was having a lot of problems. How do I love my wife? This one said, love her by kissing her, cook for her, to go out and come back. So many things. I'm confused. So what do? I follow my heart. Now, what I learned, this way I saw it one day that really blessed me. Changed my life about setting goals. I just saw that a carpenter is powerful, is highly skilled, he has all the tools, but he can never initiate any repair in your house. Am I right? If tomorrow a carpenter comes to your house, why your window in, what will you say? Hello, what is it? Your mind is like that carpenter. He has tools, he has skill, he's ready, but then the direction comes from the owner of the house. Who will say, let's do that. Okay, if I'm changing the window here, then we'll come. So I must be sharpening my mind, getting ready with my mentality and intellectual power. But what I should do that springs up from my heart is from my heart. And usually, your heart talks to you in the night. Come and see. Psalm 16, verse 8. Psalm 16, verse 8. Psalm 16, verse 8. I have set the Lord always before me because it's at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Next verse. Therefore, look, let's go to verse 7. I will bless the Lord who has given me what? Counsel. My heart also instructs me in the night season. You see, I live ready every day. I live ready every day like a carpenter waiting, watching for the call on the phone. And when I am by myself thinking, pray, do that. Put that money there. Like last year, I told my wife, take some money, put it there. Take some money, put it there. I don't know the reason why. I don't know what you're setting the goal. Ask me, what's going on? Put the money there. This year, the money was required. Yes, I learned about this. I read them. But I follow my heart. Look here. Any animal in the bush that goes by looking around is a dead meat. They go by instinct. And our own instinct is in our heart. See, the way I do, sometimes some of you wonder, how do I preach all these services? My mind will go bonker. You know, I just lie on my bed, looking at, I just see what to do, next service, that other service. Okay, I know my wife's coming out, put it over there. You know, I come to church, sit down there, and hear everybody, I make comment on what he said. I'm living by my heart, listening. God, my heart developed over the years. And so that is your engine room to do things from there. And sometimes somebody will send me a text. I didn't answer them. Then maybe my heart just, around 3 a.m. I wake up, my heart will say, you didn't answer that text. Just click it down and answer it. Pastor, are you organized? Yes, sort of, I'm organized. But I'm more organic. Are you hearing me? I'm more organic than just set things up. And I still have something set up. I have time for praying. I have all those things like that. But when it comes to accomplishing goals, I don't get up and say, yeah, I'm going to buy me a boat. Don't do that. Hello? It's just like that from your heart. My heart also instructs me when I say this, everybody should have a good bed. Good bed. Psalm 4, verse 4, KJV. Take a look. Goals coming to you. See, Paul proposed in the spirit, I must go to Rome. My heart, let's go. Psalm 4, verse 4, KJV. Psalm 4, verse 4. Quickly. Be angry and do not sin. Commune with who? Your own heart upon where? And be still. So a lot of time, just lie down there. Look at that. Look at that. Okay, look at that child. Having some problem. Look at that. We have not been making enough money in this business. What's really going on? Yeah. Why are we always fighting in the house? What's going on? You've been thinking of how to break it, then you find out that you've been coming back home stressed, particularly on Mondays. You're causing so much fighting. Your heart just gets hold of that. Sometimes, Bible says, the heart of a man studies how to answer. It's in Proverbs. That means some things you should not answer quickly. Just answer by, no. Relax and answer from your heart. If you answer your heart from your heart, she will like you. Or your husband. Huh? It's just, when she says, there, what happened to that soup? It's too salty. Leave that alone. Just be quiet first. And your heart will say, tell him you are sorry. Or the reason why is because I didn't put enough. I thought I didn't put enough, so I put more. And that will, from your heart. Goals are available there in your heart. You know what I find out? I was telling somebody today. When you have perfume, when you perfume your body in the room, if you open the door to the parlor, it will, one way or the other, get there. Am I right? Beautiful. Does that make some sense? So set, some of you women here, set goals for your kitchen. Praise God. Do different things like that. But above all, Above all, set goals to meet God every day. Set goals. To just talk to God and think along with Him. See the truth I say? Set goals. That will help every other area of your life. It will see, going to God is like rain falling last week Tuesday and Thursday. You see, that rain was unusual. It just pour. The bucket can't pour like that. That's rain from heaven. It just poured. And you know what? If you go around now, things are becoming green. Am I right? They're waking up. So the same way, anytime you go to God, it's an outpouring. And things will grow up. Goals will stand up in your heart. No need to be worried about a lot of things. Praise God, somebody. Paul proposed in the spirit. He just knew what to do. Praise God. Praise God. I said, praise God. Beautiful. I will have read some book today, but book reader is not around. I didn't tell her I was going to read today. Yes, it's been busy. All right, so we'll just take some questions. I'm doing this more. Maybe talk something about faith a little bit. But I'm really focusing on practical living now. This will help us through the year. So setting goals. If you have any questions you want to ask, you want to write on paper, you want to ask with microphone, please feel free. Shola is here with me. Let me grab the microphone. And please feel free. You want to ask any question about setting goals and stuff like that, please feel free. Please ask. This will call me number one. Who will be our number one? Okay. You got something you want to ask? Thank you. All right. You're welcome. Hold on. I'll give you a microphone. So you can. Yes.
Good evening, sir.
Welcome.
That Genesis chapter 1 you read for us, sir.
Yes.
You know, when God wanted to set a goal, it set a goal one by one. Most of us, like me, I set many goals. So at the end of the, maybe at the end of the day, I just noticed that maybe just one out of
all those ones you set.
So okay. I just want to ask, how? I think maybe God can create everything at once.
That's right, but he didn't do that.
He didn't do that.
Yeah.
He set a goal at a day, and he made sure that he achieved that one at that particular day.
And so we'll go and rest and come back again.
Come back. But, you know, this
now, let me deal with this. This is the finest way to deal with this. Please, everyone listen to this. This is the finest way. Even God himself does this. He writes things down. He writes things down. Habakkuk chapter 2. All these years, I've never used phone. I don't write with. Knowing fully myself that my mind can be fleeting and can go away, I think something now, I'm thinking something next time. So what do? I capture that. If you can type, I'm not a type, so I love to write. You know. So let's go to Habakkuk 2. Give us an NLT from verse 1. I will climb up to my watchtower and stand at my guard post. Then I will wait to see what the Lord says and how he will answer my complaint. Next verse. And he says to me, what did he say? He said to me, write my answer plainly on tablet. But a ignorer can carry the correct messages to others. That's what NLT is trying to say. But let's look at NKJV. This is where I put it. NKJV. Write the vision, what you see, and make it plain on tablet. And it may run, who is it? So what I do is that I if you see my tablets, I have my spiritual weekly things I do. In fact, it's my screen. What do you call that thing now? The screen that goes off. Saver, you know, so screen saver, you know. When I open my screensaver, I tabulate that. I have that like that. I've not been able to keep it fully. So I put that there. Is that right? So there are some things that are cyclical that you have to do. That are cyclical. That it has to happen. It's not something that just happens once and for all, so you can have that. So, but please, write them down. And can I plead with you? You can also have time to run through them. That will go a long way. Have time to check them up and stuff like that. Okay. Beautiful. Any other person with question? Yes, sir. Thank you, sir.
Praise God, sir. Yeah. Actually, it's not a question.
Okay.
I just want to corroborate this from, because this thing you are teaching, it's you've taught them many times in the past, but not in the same direct method. And I decided when I became HOD to put some of these things into practice.
Beautiful.
Because I discovered that one of the major reasons why institutions don't do well is that most HODs don't have goals.
Beautiful.
And so I chose that every year we will have what I will say, this is what we are going to achieve.
Beautiful.
I make people to know it, and every quarter and so on and so forth,
we will look at assessing it.
We'll look at it.
Wow.
And it really worked beautifully.
Praise God.
One major area where it was so, you know, impactful was when I became chairman of the Medical and Dental Council, MDCN.
Okay.
There was something we had been wanting to do.
All this while?
For over 30 years. And I found that we just talk about it, and then, you know, we just talk about it, and then another executive comes, and they talk about it. Okay, they wanted me to be chairman, and I said, look, I don't want to be chairman because my methods are a little bit different. Eventually, it was kind of imposed on me. And the very first, so when I got up and I said, look, what am I going to do? What difference am I going to make? And I said, I'll make these goals, I'll write them. And in my very first meeting, I will pronounce them, yeah. I will write them, I will project them so that people can hold me to it.
Beautiful.
That we say we'll do this, we say we'll do this, we say we'll do this. And sir,
we that was accomplished. All those praise things. God, praise God, praise God, praise God. Thank you, sir. Now, you see, this is what I was talking about in this area. And you can apply it to your life. See, taking time to write things down and assess them and to be sometimes really, really be ready for to be ashamed for not doing it. Are you hearing me? Let me deal with something that's going on in people's mind before we. Any paper on the hand? Just hold on. Now, one of the things that people also feel really bothered about is difficulties on their way of getting things done. Difficulties. Do you know that God had serious difficulty in the beginning? I mean, he put two a couple there to run the thing. And they messed up so bad that they added over the place to his enemy. In fact, God got to a point and said, I'm sorry I made human beings. I hope you see that in the Bible. But you see, he still carried on. So somebody said something I won't forget in my life. He said, three things are required for making goals happen. Number one, planning. Number two, practice. Number three, perseverance. If you don't really plan and look at how to make it happen, you are likely to start on the wrong footing. Because sometimes when you don't get things clear, if God didn't see the darkness, he wouldn't have asked for light. So learning to go back and look at things. I'll show you that in a minute. And then in practice to get at it. See, every quarter we'll check it. We'll go after, we'll make. And please, I'm sorry, I'm just ungodly. Don't do like this. By the grace of God, we will, what are you going to do? You see, all these people say, I remember I can't forget this in my life. When they killed Bola Ige, our then president said, Olorun Ajika mu. They never move the person. So a lot of time, people just want to shift things on God And it's a very lazy approach. What is God asking you to do to set up, and then it will help you with the rest? That making sense? So, determined to put things down. And when things get rough, let me show you about Paul, when he made that decision. Act 21, take a look. Act 21. See, Paul said, I'm going to Jerusalem, am I right? Through the way, I'm going to Rome through Jerusalem, remember? Okay. Let's look at Act 19. I'm talking about when things happen that go difficult sometimes. Let's look at Act 19 first. Okay, Act 20 verse 1. After the uproar had ceased, Paul called the disciples to himself, embraced them, and departed to go to where? Please follow carefully. Now, when he had gone over that region and encouraged them with many words, part of his plan, he came to Greece and stayed 3 months. And when the Jews plotted against him, this is that your Bible, as he was about to sail to Syria, he decided to return through Macedonia. You see, he had planned to go that way. Then some plot came up to just want to waylay him. What did he do? He didn't change where he was going, but he rescheduled his plan. Does that make some sense? So sometimes you have to make adjustments. One thing I notice is that when you set up credible goals and make up your mind you're going to do something, not because you are selfish, God has a way of adding wind to your sail. You know, one person who impressed me most among Nigerian leaders, Abdul Salam. You know, he accomplished much in Nigeria because he came clean, not having any hidden agenda. And he just, and one of the most respected leaders in our country today. He didn't have anything. He just himself. He just playing. So a lot of time when you're just that playing, God's going to help you. And when there's any trouble, you can. You don't have to think that I must get it done by December. Somebody say, Pastor, agree with me. In 3 months, I'll get married. There's nobody who. That's tough. Pastor, but the Bible says Isaac. Thank you. Is your father as rich as Abraham? Does he have a servant who can get you a wife and carry her home, present it to you? Pastor, all things are possible. I agree with you. But 3 months, I come out with you. Now, somebody said, why do I run to trouble? Is it because my plan is not good enough? Not really. But please, also make goals with seriousness of mind. Don't do it casually. Chapter 1, 2 Corinthians. Let's read that. Then I will take the next question quickly. Take a look at chapter 1, 2 Corinthians. Are we there? Verse 15. We're looking at all this that can help us. These are practical things, practical living. Take a look. Chapter 1, 2 Corinthians, verse 15. And in this confidence, I intended to come to you before, that you may have a second benefit. We're talking about the Corinthians, to go and reach them. Next verse. To pass by way of you to Macedonia. See, Paul had to come again from Macedonia to you and be helped by you on my way to. See, just get up in the morning and just go around. Jesus, Clamasila, right? No. He had things worked out. In the midst of joy, he will look forward. In the midst of pain, he will look forward. Where is he going? See, you can see that journey. Go to Macedonia. Come again from Macedonia to you, and you not being the end of me, but to be helped by you, my way to Judea. But something happened. Let's keep reading. Therefore, when I was planning this, did I do it lightly? See, politicians, they do that. They go to any place, read their crowd, and say, we shall do this for you. We'll make a road for you from here. Double lane. It's a village, Joe. That even half lane will do the job. Did I do it lightly? Or the things I plan, do I plan according to the flesh? That with me, there should be yes, yes. No, no. Look at next verse. But as God is faithful, our word to you was not yes and no. We're not speaking out of both of the part of the mouth. We say what we want to do. Next verse. And I love this one. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, by me, Silvanus, and Timothy, was not yes and no, but in him was yes. Clap your hands for Jesus. Amen. In fact, that human nature we transfer to God by not trusting him enough to keep his word. We just think that, I'm not going to preach. So what I'm asking to do now is to start really be heavy about what you plan to do. Pastor, this year I want to increase my business income at least by double, which is the least number. So what do? I prayerfully look at that, pray about it, and ask God to help me to see what to do about it, and then get on the way and start doing that. And please, can I help you? After this meeting, don't go home and go and be drawing up any plan now. You see, I'm going to draw a plan. My wife, we're going to finish our house in June. Can you come? There's something kind of hit you now, like cement price. Huh? So don't rush. Calm down. I don't rush after hearing something like that. I just take my time, let my heart influence to where I should go and do that. So planning should not just be done casually and lightly. Intend to get things done. Like Dr. Riba said, over here there's a lot of talk. I can't sorrow. And then we took Paris in here. Praise God. One of the things I do, we did it yesterday night. I said to my wife, we want to get something done. Two are better than one. Then what do we do? Then how do we do? Then we push it and push it and push it and push it. We come to a conclusion. We see where the resources are. We move in there. And if we just get it done, I just walk off. Both of us, we have a position. I'm the chief strategic officer, chief operation officer. So this we don't have, I don't know, she knows. She just tells me, I said, okay, let's move and do that. Just get that done. And so beautiful working like that together. And take counsel with your heart. Okay? Yes. On paper, we have some questions. Let's see.
Sir, we have this question on consistency, and the person is asking, sir, how do I handle consistency at reaching my goal?
This is what I did on Sunday. Forget about consistency. Just take a day at a time. Look at God. First day, get up. Like I said, you see, you are looking at a year consistently. You are looking at a month consistently. Just get up today and give today what it deserves. By the evening, you are already strong enough to know what to do next. You see, many of us are looking for consistency. And Matthew 6. Hallelujah. Then we look at Luke 9 to Matthew 6. Take a look at the last verse there. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. Matthew 6:34. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own thing. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. What can I read a message Bible? Maybe we'll make it a little bit clearer. Let's look at what it says. Maybe. It doesn't complicate it. Give your entire attention to what God is doing right now. Don't get worked up about what may or may not happen tomorrow. God will help you deal with whatever hard things come up when the time comes. I clap there for Message Bible. So, I don't worry about, am I going to be okay tomorrow? Am I going to be consistent tomorrow? Will I keep on doing this? I never worry about that. I go say, today, what are we going to do? And what's that? Passion. Passion Bible. Oh, this is Passion Bible, Abby. Okay, let's look at Passion Bible. Give us Passion Bible. Maybe we'll add more to it. I've read it over there. Let's take a look. Passion Bible. You have Passion, TPT. Refuse to worry about tomorrow, but deal with each challenge that comes your way one day at a time. Oh, Barry. Tomorrow will take care of itself. The level of tomorrow's consistency rests on today's consistency. So just take today and give your possible best. Pastor, I didn't do well today. Okay, confess your sin or confess your inability and say, how do I make that change? Praise God. That all right? So, actually, consistency is seen over time. And you cannot, listen to this. you can never measure consistency by looking at it. Just like your height. You cannot become taller by looking at it. When we are all smaller, we want to get taller. Well, guys, I want to grow beard, Shola. Those days, we put spirits, poor spirit, nothing comes out. Now today, I'll take blade and be sharpening that every day. Huh? Yeah, that's the way it is. So the consistency, let me give you one more verse. Luke 9:62. Just do what you need to be done today. That's why I ask you to do something spiritual every day. Because that will give you the motivation and energy to rise up and do things. Right? Okay. Jesus responded, why do you keep looking backward to your past and have second thought? Okay. No one, having put his hand to the plow and looking back his feet. See, that person is looking back and saying, I'm not consistent. Just start today. Just keep going. Yeah, any more questions? Just keep going. And when you fall, get up again. Is that all right? The righteous one falls seven times and he gets up again. All right. Now, let me do something now. In your younger days, it's not easier. As you get older, but Ariba, it was not like that when he was younger. He was struggling with a lot of things. But if you never struggle with things, you won't master them. So some of you over here that you feel like, I'm not consistent, I'm just 25. What is a Bereni now? And you're going to fall down with my daddy's other sister. She starts trying to walk now. And she walk like this. She just shout and then she fall down. We never said, consistent, you know? No. We just let the thing just go on. And one of these days, she will start running with us. Yeah, go ahead.
Thank you, sir.
If you want to ask my microphone, please go ahead. Ask questions. Any other thing you want to do? Yeah, great. Go ahead.
Okay, sir. So you spoke about the best goals coming from the heart. And this person is asking, how can one differentiate between when goals are coming from the heart and from the mind?
This kind is not, it's about practice. But let me put it like this to you. When something is coming from your heart, the more you think and pray about it, the better you feel on the inside. Better you feel about it. Now, can I be honest with you? If you see a lion running across the road, Pastor, should I follow my heart or my mind? Just take off, brother. You'll keep your heart and mind safe at the end of the road. You know, sometimes you want to some of these things. But one of the things that come out of this, let me tell you, I'll tell somebody this afternoon. Praying in the spirit will help you a lot. You know, when I say your heart, I don't mean something else. That's the real you. That's the real you. That's the real person. That's so when you ask me, what's the real me? What do I really want out of this? That's actually the real thing is actually your heart. That's your flesh. I understand that I want to. But something's inside here. That's why you should learn to be more quiet. Are you hearing me? I don't mean just quiet that you don't talk at all, but to be inward. To be more inward person. To consider things. Sometimes I will have something from my mind that my heart will adjust better. Sometimes I'll have things from my heart that my mind will improve upon. They both work together. Are you hearing me? But usually, by this gross definition, it's your heart that picks up things. Your mind develops it. But the discovering, the unveiling, in fact, that word is called apocalypse, revelation, the unveiling of things. Now, some of you, I'm making sound so spiritual. No, not really. You see things. You just, oh no, let's do better that way. This morning, I was doing some recording, and I'd planned what I'm going to say. I'd planned it on paper. I was in the bathroom. I just saw another idea to it. Whoa. I just went that way. And it was so beautiful because it just linked everything up. So always be that quiet on the inside, looking for how to do things better. I don't care whatever you are doing, whether architecture or building or anything, or life or buying things in the market. You know, always be aware that it's more than what you see. Is that clear? Is that okay? And don't blame yourself. Don't always think that, except you are right, not coming from your heart. Sometimes things come from your heart and may not work out properly. Are you hearing me? Your sweetheart is always working properly. So sometimes things come from your heart. You are growing, you are learning. Okay. Didn't the plan of Adam and Eve come from the heart of God? This thing messed up, didn't they? So don't always think that if I get it right spiritually, everything's going to be all right. No, Pastor, you have a question there. Thank you. Yeah. Okay.
Well, I won't call it a question because I want to respond with what you've taught us years ago.
All right. Which I don't remember right now.
Yeah. You see, you say it frequently. You see, you said, when we live by who we become.
Okay.
And then doing what we do.
Yep.
And then what we have.
Fantastic.
You know, years ago, we went at the Yano Mortuary. I used to set my goals with what I want to have and do.
Great.
Towards that. And I noticed that most of those goals were first being met at certain level. You know, there were small goals. I would set goals of doing some marketing and doing some aggressive marketing and getting some things done, and they were being met. But at a certain point, I'll be honest with you, they were not being met. I would set like 5, 6, 7 goals and maybe one. And I would see some other goals I didn't set being met.
Yep.
And I say, why? And you preach this kind of thing with being and doing that. We should set our goals with what we become.
Yeah.
And I got it straight that what we become is a function of what we do spiritually with our lives.
Yeah.
Taking our Bibles, prayer time, we can set goals on how many, you know, hours we want to use to pray and how much, which part of the Bible we want to read and building our spirits up.
Yeah.
And I began to do that. And some things started happening that was different. And that changed my life totally. Because most of the things I do, they are now done when my mind is not agreeing with it. It's not in total agreement. But I know this is what I'm led to do. And I keep criticizing myself all the way. I was still speaking with somebody yesterday. I said, what I'm doing now doesn't make sense. I said, well, I'm doing that. And look at what I'm doing. And I don't. And I criticize. This is what I think is reasonable.
But it's working.
But I'm working. I'm doing it. And I think I'm doing the right thing because I'm doing it from the heart.
And over the years, you have seen results with that.
I've seen results of that over the years at odd times. And some of these things, I can't find a book where I wrote it, I will do this year. I can't find a book I wrote it. But I know when God speaks to me, it's time. Go for it. This is the time to do this. And I follow God all through, step by step, doing that. But I have where I wrote what to do daily with my spiritual life.
Fantastic.
The books I'm going to read next. Who I'm going to talk with next.
Gratitude.
You know, those are things that are
you see,
working.
You know why I'm glad you're the one talking? If I say that, they will say it's a pastor. He just stays in church. He doesn't do anything tangible. Maybe I help you. Everyone help me preach it regularly, every once in a while. And I was talking about supreme goal, top goal. Like you said it now, it's who you are becoming that can accomplish things. I will never ask a 5-year-old or that boy there to carry a bag of cement. We can set the goal for the boy. You're going to carry a bag of cement. You're going to lift it up in the name of Jesus. Oh, the Lord is good. And God will be like, but get him to develop and grow and get better. He will not even think about it and pick it up. Now, one of the major things that it should be known to all of us, your heart is working overtime over your life. Your heart is working overtime. Plus the Spirit of God in there, they want to get all the answers for you. But many of us don't believe that. Rather, we believe our mind is sufficient to do everything for us. Am I making sense? Particularly, let me make it easier for you. Some of us who are in this setting where things are ordered is great. Like we are working in an office, like talking about make plans, that kind of a thing. But particularly if you're in business and these other areas, you cannot make customers come and declare that I declare today, 10 customers will come today. You can't do that. So you can't just set goals of reaching, of having 10 customers every day. You have to buy them. That's normal business. You know. So in those dimensions, and that's where we are going now, the world is going to a place of turbulence where you cannot actually tell exactly. They call it real time. So you can't tell. What's dollar rate today? No, it's real time. So learning to live like that is so important. If you are that kind of an area, if you are working in a place where they pay your salary regularly, set the goal on the salary. Even be careful today. The government can just not pay. They start fasting and praying. I'm cooperative, you know. So you can never, people are breaking all the borders now. So you have to actually develop more on the inside, to be honest with you. To be honest with you. Ah. Because even when things go hurry, where will you make adjustment from? It's from the heart. So, like he said, set the goals to pray. Dr. Ariba didn't tell you that. He will pray all the way, speak in tongues, make confessions from Atosagamu in the car. He was so much used to that, that one day he picked somebody, the person was in the car. He didn't even know, he just kept on confessing, declaring the word of God. Many of us don't want to do that. We just want to Baba, Jesus, Ekono, Koyo. So I pray that you will understand this. But can I say this to you? Everything boils down taking this thing serious. Boils down to that. So let's take it serious more. And ready, willing to get better. There's nothing like that. Ready, willing. If you look at your life, the goals that succeed in your life is where you are really willing to make it happen. If you be willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. A lot of times people are talking, but their willingness, readiness is not there. Okay, beautiful. We have one more. Okay, let's round up with that. We'll give our offering.
Okay, sir. There are two questions on one.
Interesting. I want to go home.
The first question says, how can we overcome failure to acting on the set goals?
Let's go to football. Put the ball down. You smash it on the goal. It didn't enter. What do you do? Failure. What do you do? You're back to the plane. And then they score against you. What do you do? I've always said this. One place I don't want to be football is a goalkeeper. Particularly about this tournament that is a higher one. And then you see, you dash for the ball, enters the ball, and the newsman will take it from this corner, from that corner. From this corner, from that corner. How the ball escaped through your hand. You know what I want to do? I want to put the ball there at Jomololi. But you can't stop the tournament. You can't stop the tournament. You can keep on playing. But one day God just helped me. God said, when they score against you, the ball comes to you. That moment you stuck it, the match will stop and they give you the ball. Failure gives you serious advantage in life. If you never learn to fail, you won't do well. Are you hearing me? Learning to get up from whatever has happened. So there's no magic to it. Just get up again, like you do in football. Just get up again and learn your way and keep learning and keep practicing. But one thing I learned years ago that reduced my failure rate was to go back and look at that thing again from what I've learned I saw it from David's life. David carried the ark, and there was trouble. The man died, and he said, take it somewhere else, and they were blessed there. So he went back to the book and saw that they must not carry the ark. So a lot of us, we don't study enough. Not only just the Bible now, but the issues we are dealing with. So some of these things, we just make some mistakes, some floundering, and things go bad. So that area, failure is, will occur. How many of you have never failed any exam? Can I see your hands up? You never failed any exam, primary school to secondary to university. So you've all failed before here. But did you stop there? We didn't. Thank you. Last question. Let's close. Give our offering now.
Okay, sir. The last question says, how do I deal with lack of focus on the set goals and overcome distractions?
Sounds so theoretical. How do I overcome lack of focus? Let me recommend this for you. Get a book on focus and read it. If you need one, let me know. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. One of the things that I used to kill myself is reading. If I'm challenging an area, I'll get the book over there and start reading it. That's one of the best ways to read. You don't have money, read books on finances. You're feeling sick, read something on health. You have a problem with your marriage, find a book on marriage. Hello? Pastor, reading. Go to heaven. Last book in the Bible. Bible says there is a book in the hand of the one sitting on the throne. And it's so complicated, nobody can understand it. So when you get to heaven, we don't know what's going to happen. Hello? Is that all right? Praise God. I think we can close and go home. All right, so let's read. Let's find different things we can do. That person should see me. I'll give you the book on focus. I've got two or three or four of them that will read. You know. Great, that will help you. All right, yeah, let's give our offering. Get out of here. Are you blessed today? I'm really working on this practical living. Next Tuesday, God willing, we'll get back to faith. We're going to talk about what to do when faith seems weak. When you feel like your faith is weak, what do you do? I got a book, I'm going to read on it. I'm going to go through it. My reader will be around that time, hopefully. Okay, all right. Beautiful. Okay. Father, we thank you for our offering, our gift, our sacrifice. You said we should honor you with our substance. So we do that right now, Father. Thank you for listening to us back. You said you fill our barns with plenty, vat overflowing with new wine. We choose to agree with you. Thank you for your word being fulfilled in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise God. All right. Let's give. Get out of here. Praise God. Thank you for coming. Learn one or two things. I will encourage you. Don't forget what I said about accomplishing goals. Planning, practice, and perseverance. Persevering. Pastor, what is persevering? What I do every Tuesday, Friday, Sunday. Tuesday, Friday, Sunday. I keep coming here. Tuesday, Friday, Sunday. Tuesday, Friday, Sunday. Tuesday. Like Jesus, teaching, preaching, healing, teaching, preaching. Every town, every city. He planned for 35 cities, remember? 35 cities he planned for. Send people ahead of him. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me read a verse to you about Jesus. Round up, give this auditorium. The last verse in the last chapter of the Gospel of John, John 21, verse 25. Give us on the screen. Last verse, the last chapter. And there are also many other things that Jesus did, which if they were written one by one, I suppose, he's thinking, that even the word itself could not contain the books that would be written. A goal-driven man. He said, remember where we started from? Luke 13, 31. Give us again on the screen in NIV as we go home on goal-setting, goal-reaching. Give us Luke 13, 32. All right. He replied, go tell that fox. I will drive out demons and heal people today and tomorrow. And on the third day, I will reach my goal. Jesus did it so much well that all the books in the world could not contain what he did. Waking up every day, going after this. May God bless us. Such a mighty manner that we will live and fulfill great things with our lives in Jesus' name. I plan not to live a small life. And I pray you not live a small life. Praise God. A small life lives around itself alone. A great life lives for God and for others. Can we get up on our feet? Thank you, Jesus. Can we just thank God for our lives? For all he has invested in our lives to this moment? You are a goal in the mind of God. Your birth, your coming to this world was a goal of God fulfilled. Can we lift our hands and say, Father, thank you for bringing me into the world. Thank you for keeping me in the world. Thank you for putting me at this time. Thank you for where you have put me as a context, in my home, in my family, in my job, in my city, in my country. Thank you for your reason for putting me here. And thank you for helping me to see things to do to fulfill that. I want to give you all the glory and all the praise and all the honor. Help me to simplify my life and decomplicate it by fulfilling the essential things as to do with my life, like my Lord Jesus. Thank you to do what I need to do as a human being, as a husband, as a wife, as a child, as a parent, as a worker, as a leader, whatever, with my talent. Thank you. Help me to plan my days to accomplish, not just to run around. Help me, Lord. And I give you all the glory and all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So we're going to go to next week and look at something that we need in this season to help us go on. Critical need in this season. That's what we're going to see next week. All right. Tell your neighbor, have a wonderful night. Surely, goodness and mercy. Friday, communion service. Don't forget. Let's come and remember Jesus. Thank you so much for coming. God bless you. God.